Welcome to The Ralph Report with Ralph Garman.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to The Ralph Report for a Wednesday. It is May 9th, and I am here. Where is that, you may ask? I'm in Canada. I'm in Edmonton. And if you've been following it all on Twitter or social media of any sort with my buddy Kevin Smith, my partner in Hollywood Babylon, you know it's been quite an adventure to get here. Bit of craziness. We were supposed to do a show in Calgary last night. And actually, Kevin was supposed to be in Los Angeles. We were going to fly to Calgary together. That got changed because he was still in New York, and I didn't know at the time he was dealing with a family emergency. So it was switched to the fact that he was going to fly from New York, and I was going to fly the next day, yesterday, to Calgary to do the show. And then he ended up not flying from New York. Anyway, we had to cancel the show last night, which was a bummer. And if you are a listener to The Ralph Report in Calgary and you had tickets for last night's show, please accept my apologies and Kevin's apologies. We never like to cancel a show. We rarely, if ever, do. But this was one of those situations that was just beyond our control. So that's what happened. So we had to cancel the show last night. And so I didn't need a reason to fly into Calgary. So I had to rearrange my travel yet again and get a flight to Edmonton. Now, I couldn't get a direct flight from Los Angeles to Edmonton because there wasn't one available. So I had to go via Vancouver. So I flew yesterday from LA to Vancouver, then changed planes, Vancouver to Edmonton. Here I am. And we have a show tonight in Edmonton, then a travel day off for me. Kevin's going to Winnipeg, I think, to do another show. And then on Friday, we reconvene in Vancouver to do another show before we head home. So if that makes any sense to you, you're better than I am because I'm confused and it's my life. Anyway, it's a Wednesday morning. I'm in a hotel and I may be again speaking a little softly because I don't want to be the obnoxious neighbor who wakes somebody up at this time in the morning. But doing the Ralph Report from Canada. And I got to tell you, I love Canada. I really do. I don't get up here very often. But for me, it's always so fun and trippy for so many reasons. First of all the stereotypes are true. Canadians are polite as fuck. And it's contagious. You find yourself being a better person because you're around better people. At least I do. I'm much more polite around these Canadians than I am at home. It was crazy getting off the plane yesterday. And you know, I'm a checker. I check my bag. So I went to the baggage carousel to get my bag. And by the way, real quick aside, I'm quick to shit on an airline when it does poorly. So allow me to give mad props to Air Canada, which was a seamless travel experience from them. Thanks to everyone at Air Canada who made it just a joy to get from LA to Vancouver and then Vancouver here to Edmonton. It was just smooth as silk. Couldn't have had a better trip. So I'm there waiting for my luggage. And you know how in America, if you've ever been to the luggage carousel, what a roller derby it is to try to get your bag? How people are throwing elbows and jockeying for position and trying to get closest to the hole in the wall where the conveyor belt's coming out and bringing all the luggage? None of that in Canada. People standing a respectful distance away from the conveyor belt. I would say a good 3-4 feet away. Just waiting patiently for their bag to come out. And when they see their bag, then they'll step forward and remove it from the conveyor belt and step back so someone else has access to their bags. It was crazy to witness the insane civility of a group of people. And you realize, my God, that's how it should be all the time. Why are we so eager in America to push each other out of the way to get to our luggage? It was genuinely eye-opening. Anyway, and they're just polite and kind, and the stereotypes of, oh, it's beauty, eh? People actually say that. I heard it last night at dinner from my bartender, I was sitting at the bar eating a sandwich, had a cold beer after I checked into the hotel, and he's like, how do you like that lager? I was like, oh, it's delicious. He goes, yeah, it's beauty, eh? It's like a sketch up here. But my true favorite thing about Canada, and this is just a little weird peccadillo of mine, is that it reminds me of my like favorite science fiction kind of shows. I love shows like Fringe. Remember when Fringe was on Fox with Anna Torv and Joshua Jackson? Woo! He is for real. He and she and John Noble, they discover this alternate universe, right? If you watch that show at all, you know they went back and forth between these alternate universes that had doppelgangers on the other side. There's a show right now on a network called Stars called Counterpart with J.K. Simmons. Same premise. Split dimensions, doppelgangers on both sides, people going back and forth. And on those shows, whenever you see someone from, let's say, our side, this side, the world we know, traveling over to the mirror universe, it's always a lot like our side, but just off. Very familiar, yet very different. And that's how I feel when I come here to Canada. I feel like I've stepped through the portal to the other universe. Because you'll be driving down the road, and then you'll see McDonald's. All right, that feels like home. And then next to it, it's the Petropass station. It's like, Petro, everything here is petrol. It's not gas. So everything, all the gas stations have Petro somewhere in the name. And it's very off-putting because it's very foreign. Yet you feel very much at home because there's so much we share in common. But then you look at the sign and it's like, oh, 12 kilometers until you get off. And the temperatures are all in Celsius, not Fahrenheit. It's just everything is just foreign enough to make you feel uncomfortable. Yet at the same time, so completely familiar that you feel like you haven't left home. So that's one of the reasons I like Canada, because it just throws me a little bit. But the people are great, and the town is great. My first time in Edmonton, I'm staying on a main thoroughfare here, which they tell me is sort of like the Times Square of Edmonton. And I pulled up. I got a cab from the airport, and I pulled up, and the guy said, it gets pretty loud here on this street, so I hope you can get some sleep tonight. And can you hear anything? I don't hear anything. But next to the bed on the nightstand, there's a little box. And the name of the thoroughfare here is White, W-H-Y-T-E, that I'm on. And in the box it says, very cute, say no to white noise. And I guess they've had enough complaints about people complaining about this thoroughfare and the cars going up and down or motorcycles or whatever they think the problem is, that they give you a little box and inside the box, earplugs. So they must think it's pretty rowdy here in Edmonton, but no complaints from this city boy. So tonight is our show in Edmonton. Looking very forward to that. Just a little warning for tomorrow's Ralph Report for a Thursday. I made friends with a morning show here in Edmonton. And they assure me that there is a whiskey bar not too far from the venue that I need to go to afterwards, after I do the show tonight. We're at the Meyer Horowitz Theater, and then they say not too far is a bar called Have Mercy, which considers itself quite the Southern-style honky-tonk sort of redneckery, if you will, which wouldn't be my thing ordinarily. But the two guys on this morning show here in town, this radio show, swear by it. And they say Wednesday, it's Whiskey Wednesday, so there's special deals on all different kinds of whiskey. And one thing Canadians know is their whiskey, by the way. Their beer and their whiskey. Pretty solid. And I believe it's karaoke night as well. So I'm just saying, if I step off the stage at, let's say, 8 o'clock to 9, 10, 10 o'clock, and then I get to Have Mercy, the Roadhouse, 10:30, 11 o'clock. To be polite, if I'm going to hang with these people, I got to put in an hour. That's midnight. Then I got to get up, what, at 3 in 3 hours to do the Ralph Report? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I make no guarantees on Thursday morning what version of me you're going to get. But I will do my best. I promise you that much. Regardless of my condition, you will get 100% of whatever that version of Ralph can give. I'm like the Ralph on the other side in the alternate universe who may not be nearly as awake or as energetic as we all might like. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, you might get a drunk Ralph. I don't think I've done a Ralph Report drunk yet. That could be a new one. You know what? I've talked about doing this on Hollywood Babylon forever. I have to do a Ralph Report stoned is what I have to do. How better to do it than in the comfort of my own home just to get baked and let's see what happens. I'm going to put that in a list of things to do when I get home. In the meanwhile, it is the Ralph Report here for a Wednesday. Great show coming up. Of course, Jim Jefferies. People are losing their minds over this interview. And you're absolutely right. He's terrific. I mean, obviously, any interview is made by the person you're interviewing. And he is just so great. Great chunk today, later on in the show. It is, of course, One Hit Wonder Wednesday. So we will hit on our One Hit Wonder a little bit later. Steve Ashton from the UK. Love to break up the week. I love it. Wednesday's right in the middle. Helps me get over the hump when I hear from Steve Ashton. And then we hear from him again at the end of the week on Fridays. I was going to do the bots story today. We got all the stuff that's going on social media with all these bots on Twitter and stuff like that. And I really was curious about it. So we talked to Scott Prince, sort of our digital guru, about the wide world of bots. But the show is going to be a little bit long today with the One Hit Wonder Wednesday, and probably a little short tomorrow with me being drunk. So I think we're going to throw bots to tomorrow. So we're going to push that back. But let's get started this show with a segment that we do each and every day where we take a look at all the showbiz news. Man, this is gross. Sharon Osbourne is just a pig. She was on her show, The Talk, on CBS, which is a bunch of women sitting around, as you can imagine, the talking. And she said that once, she said she was forced to, I don't buy it for a minute, once she took a shit in her own front yard and then blamed it on her dog when the gardener found it. She said she was locked out of the house, Ozzy was out of town, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning and she didn't have her key. And so she said she had no choice. She had to just take a dump on the front lawn. And the next day, the gardener came up to her and said, one of the dogs is very sick. And I said, did you clean it up? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, good. That's just... If your poop is mistaken for a dog's, by the way, you're the one that's sick. And just... That family's gross. Remember that show on MTV? Used to see their dogs shitting around their house and everything. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Let's hear for Dwayne The Rock Johnson standing up for all us guys who like to eat pussy. He was on Twitter this weekend standing up for men who love cunnilingus because of what DJ Khaled said regarding that act. He said he never does it. DJ Khaled said that he never performs oral sex on his wife, but he demands that she perform it on him because the king must be serviced, in his opinion. That is, that's not exactly a postmodern position on that, but he says he is the king, and so he expects oral sex from his wife because there's different rules for men. Holy shit. Where's the Me Too movement when you need it? Yeah, he said he never gives it to her. He only accepts it from her. And a woman should praise the man, the king, said DJ Khaled. Is it Khaled? Khaled? Khalid? Whatever. You know, the big fat guy. He must be a joy to be married to. He's been with his wife for 11 years. But he says because he goes out there and he makes a living, he buys the food, he buys the clothes, that he gets serviced. Ugh. He thinks he's a sheik. He has a harem. Anyway, Dwayne The Rock Johnson stood up for pussy eaters everywhere and said that, here's a great quote, by the way. He said, a man takes great pride in mastering all performances, he said. So, good for him. Good for you, Rock. Taylor Swift and Katy Perry looks like they're going to bury the hatchet. Wish they would bury it in Taylor Swift's head. This is so shabby. Katy Perry apparently was the bigger woman and sent her a literal olive branch along with what I assume was to be a very private apology note. Sent it to her backstage before Taylor Swift kicked off on her big arena tour. And so Taylor Swift takes a picture of the apology, including some of the writing, and then puts it on social media, puts it on Instagram, and scrawls on it, "Oh, thank you, Katy." So this woman goes out of her way to try to settle this beef that they had going on between them, and she publicly humiliates the woman by posting a picture of what was meant to be a personal note of apology. That she just can't help but be a bitch. She can't help herself. God, she's evil on every level. Speaking of evil, this guy is evil or stupid or both. Of course, you know the Lethal Weapon franchise, the movie franchise, and Fox has a hit TV series version of it starring Damon Wayans in the Danny Glover role. And as the Mel Gibson character, there is a new television star named Clayne Crawford, who is on a hit TV series now. Two seasons of a hit TV series. It just ended last night, apparently, the last episode. And he's such an asshole that they fired him. Despite it being a hit TV series, they got so tired of his bullshit that they fired him. So now they're scrambling, trying to find a replacement actor to co-star with Damon Wayans on this hit series before they have to deal with the advertisers and at the upfronts. So how much of an idiot is that guy that you can't suck it up when you're on a hit show and behave yourself? He got into a bunch of problems, a bunch of fights on the set with directors and other actors and the studio. But who's Clayne Crawford to fight? By the way, Clayne, C-L-A-Y-N-E, Crawford, Clayne Crawford. That's not a name. You know how I know it's not a name? Because he made it up. Yeah, his real name is Joseph. Joseph Crawford, but he made up Clayne. That's his stage name. Oh, they should have known he was an asshole when they found out he made his name up. Clayne. Anybody calls himself Clayne is an asshole. All right, let's take a look and see who was born on this day. May 9th. All these stars born on this day. Albert Finney, one of my favorite British actors, 82 years old today. Candace Bergen, of course, Murphy Brown, 72. Billy Joel, 69 years old today. Tom Petersen, bassist of Cheap Trick, turned 68. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode is 56 years old today. And actress Rosario Dawson celebrates her 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Well, as promised, it's not the end of the entertainment news because we still have some news from across the ocean in jolly old England. It's our UK correspondent, Steve Ashton. You know him, you love him, you cannot live without him. Steve Ashton, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good, Ralph. Ralph Garman, the man who makes Wayne Gretzky look like Wayne Osmond.
A rare Osmond Brothers reference there. Very nice.
But also an Edmonton reference.
I understand it all. I get it.
Because you're there.
Yes.
So let me tell you what's happening, Ralph. It's the popular BBC gangster show that has left the nation gripped. And fans will be ecstatic to learn that Peaky Blinders will return for two more seasons. Have you been following the show?
You know, I have so many friends who love it and tell me I need to get on board, but I haven't been able to binge watch it yet.
It is fantastic. It's a bit like Boardwalk Empire, but with fucked up accents. It's amazing. It's really good. The Birmingham accent, I swear to God, is one of the worst accents on the planet, but the guys do brilliant. But the show's currently gearing up, Ralph, for its fifth series, and now writer Stephen Knight has revealed it will have another two seasons after that. He said, "We've talked to Cillian Murphy, and he's all for it, and the rest of the principal cast are in for it as well. I'm a huge fan. It's so well written, it's so well performed, and really well shot." However, Stephen Knight also revealed that he's had a meeting with the Rambert Dance Company, who want to do a ballet version of the gangster show. What the serious fuck? He said, I had a meeting with Ballet Rambert who want to do a Peaky Blinders ballet. And I'm saying, why not? Well, maybe I can answer that because it's a terrible fucking idea. A ballet based on the story of Irish gangsters who had razor blades lodged in their hats so they could slash the eyes of their enemies. It's not exactly Swan Lake, is it?
No.
But in a later series, which ended in December, finished with Cillian Murphy's character, Tommy Shelby, being elected as Labour MP for Birmingham. I mean, who would think, Ralph, in this day and age, politicians with ties to gangsters, it seems highly unlikely.
Yes.
Unless you're in New York. But also, the Royals are in the news, funnily enough. As we gear up for the social event of the year, the Royal Wedding, we found out this weekend that the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, has been left off the guest list for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's evening wedding celebrations hosted by Prince Charles. Now, Sarah Ferguson is said to be deeply unhappy to not have received an invite to the couple's second private evening function, where around about 250 guests will be present and perhaps the Spice Girls may be performing. But Fergie has received an invite to the ceremony at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, and to the subsequent reception after that, as her ex and her ex Prince Andrew and Princess Beatrice and Princess Eugenie, her daughters. But while they've also been invited to the later party that Charles is hosting and paying for, Sarah hasn't. I mean, I always thought it was the dregs that get invited to just the evening, the ones that you don't want to be there for important bits. Right. Was that the same case in your wedding, Ralph?
Yes, absolutely. They come to the after party.
Yeah, the people who were obliged to be there through work or through distant relatives. But the Duchess fell out of favor, of course, with the Royals after her divorce from Andrew in 1996. A Royal Insider reported, numbers are limited to the evening party. She's not a member of the royal family anymore. And Prince Charles simply doesn't have time for her. He just can't see why she's such a big part of his brother's life. Maybe because she wasn't murdered in a tunnel in France.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything. There's nothing controversial there. But she also wasn't invited to Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding in 2011. But her invite to the wedding itself is said to have caused a massive headache because the likes of Prince Charles and other royals don't really want her to attend. Now, it possibly could be down to the fact that she was hoodwinked also into accepting cash for access to Prince Andrew in an undercover sting by a shitty tabloid a few years back, or her embarrassing shilling of her health juicer everywhere. And here's a quick clip of that.
This fantastic little friend, I call it the Fusion Accelerator friend, because what you do is you throw everything in and the blades go at 800 m, so you get the fibre as well. It's not juicer, it's not a blender, it's an emulsifier, and you get the fibre. And once you drink the fibre, the fat cells shrink, and you get more vitality, more energy, and that's why I lost 55 pounds, and I've kept it off.
But for me, Ralph, it's because that's what she sounds like when she's sober. Imagine her after a few glasses of bubbly. My God. But I've got to go now, Ralph. I'm getting ready for the royal wedding myself. My preparations are all underway.
I didn't know you were invited, Steve.
Well, no, I'm not, but I'm going to head down to the palace for the big day. These bags of dog shit won't fill themselves.
See you, buddy.
See you soon.
Well, it is Wednesday, and quickly becoming one of your favorite segments from all the feedback I'm getting, it is time for one of my favorite segments as well. It's time for One Hit Wonders.
It's a One Hit Wonder.
One Hit Wonder.
One Hit Wonders. It's a very common tale.
One Hit Wonders, your little pop music history lesson, where I teach you something about a smash hit from an artist who blew up and then was never heard from again. And in this case, it's not quite true, because this person was heard from again, but just never for his musical talents. Today's One Hit Wonder comes from Steve Stoneman. I want to thank Steve for suggesting this, because this song is still great. It still holds up. And here's the story. Back in the 80s, General Hospital, of all places, became a hotbed for pop music stardom. It started, of course, with Rick Springfield, who was playing Dr. Noah Drake on that show in 1981, and he had a monster hit with, of course, Jesse's Girl, but went on to a bunch of other hits as well, so he certainly doesn't qualify as a one-hit wonder. But a couple years later, there was another young actor on that show in 1984. His role on General Hospital was Frisco Jones. That actor's name was Jack Wagner. And to follow in the footsteps of Mr. Rick Springfield, he released a song as well. It was written by Glenn Ballard, David Pack, and Cliff Magnus, and it was produced by Ballard and Magnus. it proved to be a smash hit as well, peaking at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in early 1985 and remained there for 2 weeks. The only song to beat it, Madonna's Like a Virgin. Shows you how big that song was, that only Like a Virgin could keep it out of the number 1 slot. Of course, Jack Wagner went on to many other television appearances, including Melrose Place and The Bold and the Beautiful, but he only had one hit song, and that song was called All I Need, and it's still romantic as fuck. Play it for your lady, fellas. She'll melt, I promise you. It's a great tune, and here's a little taste of Jack Wagner and All I Need. Oh, such a good song. I love that song. That's Jack Wagner from 1984, All I Need. And that is this week's One Hit Wonder.
It's the One Hit Wonder.
One Hit Wonder.
One Hit Wonders. It's a very common tale.
And now it's time for another installment of my interview with my friend Jim Jefferies, brilliant Australian comedian, of course, has the show The Jim Jefferies Show on Comedy Central every Tuesday night. We've been talking about that show so far, but now we're talking about other things. And it's great with Jim. You can talk about anything. But at the end of the last section of the interview, you heard us talking about diversity in the workplace, in media, and talking about Kanye West. Kanye West being on TMZ talking about how slavery for 400 years was a choice. And so he and I got talking. Steve. And so Jim and I got talking about that topic, and he had some interesting things to say about Kanye West and Kanye's excuses, and we had a little conversation about that. And then, as guys who have kids often do, our conversation turned to parenting. We talk about being a dad. So I think you're going to enjoy this particular segment of me talking to my buddy Jim Jefferies.
When I heard that Kanye West said that, my instant reaction was, no, that's not that. No, that's not true. I wanted to know what he meant by it.
Right.
Because maybe there was a follow-up thing where he goes, but he didn't seem to have a follow-up.
Oh, no. No,
it just seemed like...
You just said eventually you think they would have gotten tired of being slaves, and there were so many of them, they should have just said no, you know?
Yeah, it's just a choice.
Not really the way it works.
Yeah, he seems to have lost his mind, Kanye, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But then there's always a bit, there's sometimes with people like that where I'm like, maybe he's playing us all. Maybe this is going to sell him albums.
He's got new music he's trying to sell, so it seems like.
It was like, I started to catch on towards the end of the Jacqueline Phoenix, or Jacqueline, or however you say his name.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin, that's easy. Yeah. When Joaquin Phoenix was playing that crazy guy, and he's going on Letterman, and he said he wanted to be a rapper, and he had a big beard, and towards the end, before there was the reveal, I was like, now this is a prank now.
Yeah.
Because it was getting a bit weird. And I'm starting to feel with Kanye, like maybe he has a reveal for us.
Maybe. I know. He's got a crazy look in his eyes, though.
He's got a crazy look in his eyes. And up until, like, even 2 years ago, he'd, like, once in, like, I think it was in Sacramento or something, he'd, like, 2 songs and walked off.
Yeah. Well, he said he was on opioids back then. That was the problem.
Was he on opioids?
That's what he claims, yeah.
Yeah.
After his liposuction.
That's it. Oh, after his lipo. He had lipo and then got on opioids.
Yeah.
But see, that's the other thing with Americans is the fucking pill popping. And the pill popping thing... It only exists because you don't have public health care.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have people making money off the pills, and also people prescribe more pills if you see a doctor more times. It isn't in cultures like Australia and Britain. We're old-fashioned. We're heroin addicts and cocaine problems.
And booze, plenty of booze.
And booze. But this pill-popping thing is a distinctly American. Like, I remember like going, what? He's addicted to prescription. And this has been going on since fucking Elvis.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's a distinctly American thing. And also, like, I take Xanax on the road to help me sleep in different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
because you, even like if you're flying across America and then all of a sudden I got to do a show and I got to be on a plane early and stuff like that, just so I can go to sleep when I need to go to sleep. And I have to be conscious because that's super addictive. Like when I get home, I'm like, I could just pop one and go to sleep now. And
yeah,
it's like,
instant fix.
Yeah, you got to fight that little will to do it. And I just watched that Elvis documentary, and that was the whole thing, that he started doing that as an entertainer. So after he did a show, he could go to sleep and then he needed something that might wake him up. And you know, I get why it's, you know, look, and my mother's an elderly lady now, and she's had pain and different surgeries and stuff like that, and they have her on Oxycontin for, you know, you're in your late 70s, early 80s or whatever. That's like
enjoy, right?
Part and parcel of the fact. That's why when I look at like The Last Man on Earth, I love that TV show, right? When I watch Last Man on Earth, I'm like, I would be an Oxycontin addict. I'd just be stopping at every fucking pharmacy.
You'd be doing like, all the drugs all the time.
Yeah, no job to wake up to, no family responsibility.
Right,
would just be like, yeah, I know it would shorten my life, but what do you got to, I wouldn't commit suicide, but I would be on fucking smack all the time.
Speaking of responsibilities, Hank, your son.
Yeah.
Has that changed your outlook in general?
Oh, of course, yeah, of course.
When I had my kid, I felt like I was changed on like a cellular level. Like things were even out of my control. I changed in ways I didn't even choose to change because you're just, if you're a decent human being, it takes on a whole new level for you, right?
There's even when I do stupid shit or go out and get drunk or whatever and wake up with a, I feel guilt now, and I never used to feel guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more responsible. There's thing, since breaking up with his mother, I've become a better father. And I know a lot of people say that to justify their breakup or whatever like that. But I wasn't really, before that, for the first 4 years of his life, I wasn't really parenting at all. I was just a guy living with a four-year-old. Like I thought I was parenting because I was very nice to my son. I played with my son. I loved my son and all that type of stuff. But she was doing all the bathing him and putting him to bed and getting him up in the morning and all that type of stuff. And
right.
I went off and earned money, you know. And now that I have him and it's just me and him and I have him every second week, it's like, it's fucking not easy, man. It's a hard gig.
Yep.
Like just little things, like you have to remember to feed them.
They're funny that way. They like to eat all the time.
No, but it's not even just that you like to eat. Can you imagine, because we've been adults for so long, just not, like another person responsible for feeding you? You know what I mean? When I eat, I go off, I get food, or I'm hungry, I go get some food, or I think I'll stop off at this drive-thru, or I'll order some food, or I'll make some food.
You could leave a bowl out on the floor, I guess, and let your kid just graze, but...
It's like my son's like, Dad, I want some water. And you're like, well, get some... All right, I better get you water.
That's important, feeding and water, yeah. It'll give those instructions.
They play that fucking water thing. Kids play that
thing. Oh, yeah.
Right before they go to bed, I'm thirsty.
Daddy.
Because you don't want to be that person that goes, no, you don't need more water because the water's like
how
this.
Can you refuse someone water?
Yes, how can you refuse someone water? Water's also so cheap and all that type of stuff. It's like, all right, because I'll believe that lie every single time. I need more water.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I love being a dad. I would, even when I was breaking up with my ex, I proposed to her, but she didn't propose, but not like in that way. I would have had a second child with her, so my kids were both, you know, like fully related, and
right.
They could go through life together, going from one house to the other, rather than being separate mm-hmm. parents and that type of stuff. But I would have had another one, even during the breakup,
just to give him a sibling.
Yeah. And also, I understood that she was a good mother and that was never any problem I had. And I feel like I had a child with someone that I was very lucky to have a child with this person because, mm-hmm. you know, and we still are good friends now. And it has, moving forward, I don't, being a single dad, it is hard to date and stuff like that. Like women do get cautious of someone with a kid. I get that as though.
Yeah, really. I think it's respectful to not want to the kid,
yeah.
you know, because you don't want to mess up a kid's life. You can
yeah.
you can fool around with a human being who's an adult and, you know, if things go south, whatever, things get shitty, that's okay, but you don't want a kid involved, I don't think.
Yeah, so I'm very protective of who, like, introducing my children yeah. to any new people or anything, like my child to any new people. So it's, and also it takes up a lot of your spare time. So you start dating and then it's like, it's like, you know, at least every second weekend I'm like, no, I'm just spending it with my kid, and and then the other, every other weekend I'm off fucking doing gigs around the country. And but you know, I'm seeing my son today. I'm picking him up from school today, and I'm going for like the next 5 days. And at the end of those 5 days, when I drop him off, I'll be like this, great. And I'll drop him off his mate, and I'll feel like a sense of relief. And then like 15 minutes into that car ride, I'll be missing him.
Yeah.
Right away. But like towards the end of these 5 days,
it's exhausting.
Like,
absolutely.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exhausting. And like, also it's like your life is 3 times messier than it is without them. It's like my cleaner knows when
it's chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I know stricter parents that like, no, they have to have their toys up in their room. I kind of like the toys all being around, because that means that they're playing around you. You know what I mean? Like, because you can't see, I can't remember a time my parents sat on the ground and played toys with me. I can't remember it. I think it was, they were working all the time. It's not that my parents weren't unloving or anything like that. I just can't remember that. And so I try to play with my son a lot, but sometimes I just want to watch a fucking Dodgers game. And then, so if he's playing with these toys, I want him to be in the living room with me playing with these toys, right, rather than off in a special room. So I put up with the mess all around me.
And how about if someone told you in a house you were living in that you could only put your shit in your bedroom? You couldn't have anything of yours in the living room or anywhere else, you know?
Exactly.
I feel like they're part of the family. They deserve the run of the house,
I've just gotten used to stepping on fucking Lego all the time. That's what it is. Fucking Lego, man. Lego, I don't even get it.
Is that his thing?
He's mad for it, but it's... What is so weird about it is, it's like once you make the giant Lego structure, it's going to break within a day.
Right.
The little bullets and stuff are going to fall off it, and the little things, and it's going to break. So it's really just the making of it that's the fun. And then it's just a pile of fucking pieces and never gets seen again.
It's like when I was a kid, we used to make plastic models. And once you're done with it, it's like, what the fuck do you do with it now?
Yeah,
you put it on a shelf?
You're going to look at it.
Yeah.
More with Jim tomorrow, I promise. Also, it is Thursday. That means it's time for Ralph's Sex University. Tomorrow, we're going to investigate the furries. Special request for some information about the furries. So we'll talk about those. And I promise you, we're going to do our segment on bots, so you can tell if that person you're arguing with on Twitter or Facebook is real or not. All that tomorrow. Hopefully, if I can wake up and I'm sober enough to turn on the recorder, it's you and me and a bunch of whiskey tomorrow on the Ralph Report. Come on back, because I love you. I mean it. Bye.